fear no alarm.
Shalom saints, God bless you, God bless you. Living by faith, that's your desire and mine. I'm sure like me, you just want the Lord to usher you today by the great wings of the great cherubim himself into that secret place of the Most High, where everything makes sense, where all is well. Doesn't matter about the storm clouds outside. All is well within the veil. And that's what we're looking for. So God bless saints, I'm just stepping in the gap here for Brother Max. He went to pick up our visitors today, and we thought he might get here late. So I said, okay, let me do the Sunday school just in case. There's nothing worse than having to be in your car, pick somebody up and worrying with your watch, and then jumping straight in the pulpit, says Brother Max. We always have lots of questions to answer. So let's answer one more question for our adult Sunday school. God bless you, saints. This morning, let's open 2 Peter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Familiar scripture. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amen. So he's telling us to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Amen. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood. And Father, how we just want to hide ourselves under the blood this day. How we just want to come behind the cross and find refuge, Lord. How we just want to come into the cleft of the rock upon this day, praying for your blessing upon all the Sunday schools taking place, your blessing upon our young people, the blessing upon the teachers. We pray for your servant as he waits upon you to take the word this day that will inspire him. We do pray for our song leader, for our musicians, that Father, that lead us and guide us into your presence. But now we've opened up your word. Guide us, Lord. We need you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's be seated, saints. God bless you. So the question that you're answering is regarding being chosen and placed as sons and daughters of God. So it's your placing. If someone has made their calling and election sure, how do they find and take their place in the body of Christ? That's a very good question. So if Peter's telling us to make your calling and election sure, and the question then is, if you make your calling and election sure, how do you find and take your position in the body of Christ? Well, I think first of all, if you're making your calling and election sure, that is finding your place and position in the body of Christ. I mean, that is what making your calling and election sure is all about. You don't want to just be guessing about things. You don't want to be wondering, you know, why did the Lord call me? The Lord called every single one of us for a purpose. I mean, like the prophet says, there were many millions dying in sin. When he called you, there must have been a purpose. Why did he come to you? Why did he leave? Maybe you're still, many of your relatives only come in later. Many of your friends and stuff, they just kept going in the same direction. But the Lord came and he called you. Something happened in your life. And there was, we were speaking about in Norway the other week about your AD and your BC. Now, every Christian in your life, you have a dividing point that you have before Christ and you have AD, and everything since then has been completely different. So there came a junction in your life, everything completely changed. And that's how Paul says we partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. So there's a calling. Now the Lord intercepts your life along the way and everything starts to change. But now Peter's telling us you want to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So your calling is absolute grace. There's nothing that you do about your calling. That's predestination. The Lord made you for a purpose, raised you for a purpose. Hallelujah. The things you've gone through in life, you know, even before you met the Lord and the things in your youth and all that, was all preparing you to fulfill your calling. Hallelujah. It all works together towards your purpose. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So nothing happened in your life. Nothing happens in your life by accident, by chance. Everything is working towards a great purpose. Because God overrules all circumstances. He's the great first cause. Everything else works according to his will. He's the mainspring in the watch. And all the other gears and cogs work because of the power of the mainspring. But it's all working towards something. You know, so your calling was predestined to you. Amen. That is what was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's your real name. Mm-hmm. That's the real manifestation you're supposed to manifest in this life. But for you to make your calling and election sure, there's a part you have to play. Because Peter's telling us, give diligence. Yeah, so you and I have to give diligence. To give diligence means to exert oneself, to be zealous, to hasten to do a thing. So your calling's not just going to take care of itself. Now, you can't just sit, put on your sunglasses, you know, sit in the Bahamas your whole life, and you're going to fulfill your calling. It's not going to work like that. Now, you've got to respond to your calling. So we have an obligation, a responsibility to make our calling and election sure. The prophet says, questions and answers, make your calling and election sure. He says, sure. We don't want to just be wondering if we're called. You must be called or you'll be defeated. I've read that many times. You must be called or you'll be defeated because we're fighting a battle.
Yes.
That's whenever you find a calling in somebody's life, look at Moses, straight after the burning bush. Was life easy for him? He went straight into the conflict and combat with the devil, straight from the burning bush.
Yes.
You know, so your calling now, it equips you for things that are to come. But imagine if Moses wasn't sure of what his calling was. And he goes down and Jannes and Jambres throw down their rods, they turn into snakes. Moses gets to the Red Sea. And all of those kind of things. You got to know that you're called. You got to know who you are as a believer. Amen. You don't want to be guessing, because if you're caught in the valley of decision, you'll be thinking, whenever a crisis comes or disappointment or a challenge, if you don't really believe you're called, or you're not sure whether that is your calling, you're going to get caught in the valley of decision, because the devil's going to tell you the reason it's happening because you're not supposed to be doing this. You know, so you're going to be caught, or you'll be thinking, maybe I did something wrong. But when you know that the Lord has called you, when the challenge comes, you know that God is going to back you up, because He always backs you up in your line of duty. When you're in the line of duty, all the resources of heaven are going to back you up in your calling. Because you're not representing yourself, you're representing a kingdom. You're an ambassador of the kingdom. So all of the resources of the kingdom are going to back you up in your calling. That's why we must know that we're called. Questions and answers again, number 109. How does one rightfully know their position in the body of Christ? Now that's what you want to know, don't we? Now this is going to be progressive. Walking with God is a progressive revelation. So now you'll come to the Lord and you're not exactly sure. But as time goes by, as you walk with the Lord now, your calling's going to unfold itself. You don't have to sit down there and like try to work it out and say, okay, what is my calling? What am No. It's, there's life in the seed. There's a potential in Brother Jesse, in the seed. All you got to do is give the seed an opportunity to express itself. Your calling will take care of itself if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking with the Lord, if you keep the right attitude in trial, if you keep your eyes on the prize, now you keep looking to Him. You just keep holding on to the Lord's hand. And you're going to find, like David with the lion and the bear and all that, even in your youth, in its infancy, your calling's going to start to express itself. Yeah, you're going to just find there's a deep inside of you that starts to express itself. So the prophet says, what position in Christ, what part of Christ do I play? He says, to give you the best answer, your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. Nobody can tell you who you are in Christ. You know, people will discern and see, I think this brother's for this, or this sister's for that, or whatever. You know, because you're going to see the manifestation, the operation of the Holy Ghost working in the life of a person. And God has given you the gifts and the abilities and the talents. And when the Holy Ghost comes inside of your life, that is the power now for service. That's the power that activates those gifts. So before, Brother George used to be there in the nightclub, you know, playing a DJ when he was in the world. And then he comes to the Lord. The Lord now initiates the calling in his life. And the deep calls to the deep. And now you find him. The music starts coming out. Everything just, he starts writing songs and leading people in worship. And people start getting blessed. That is how your calling works. You don't have to crack your head for your calling. You just need to walk with the Lord. Because it's his program.
Amen.
Now he's called you for a purpose. He's made you for a purpose. And he knows how to get you there.
Yes.
The greatest enemy is yourself.
Yes.
My greatest enemy is myself. Because we can overthink things. Yes. Now we can get out. Ah, Brian Taylor, good to see you, bro. Good to see you. God bless. So that's what it is. That's going to be revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. So you're going to start finding out as you walk as a believer, there's certain things that are pleasing to the Holy Ghost and there's certain things that aren't pleasing to the Holy Ghost. Now you might think, I'm the greatest evangelist in the world, and you go out there and you don't even know how to say two words to a person on the street. Yeah, then you find out, but hey, I don't really think I'm called for this. And then you get in another line, another operation of the Spirit, you find the Lord blesses you in that. The prophet says, if you want to know, if you feel to do something, go and do it, and if the Lord blesses it, that's His will. Yeah. But as we've said, make sure that it's not just you being blessed. Some people think they're the greatest preachers in the world, but nobody in church thinks they're the greatest preacher in the world. They feel very good when they preach, but nobody else feels good when they preach. So there's the Urim and Thummim in the bride. Because your calling is to edify. Your calling is to minister to the body of Christ. Your calling is to express Christ. So your calling is going to be something to build up the body of Christ, you know, because you're part of a body move. Now, I'd ask you the question that if you want to know, okay, what kind of calling do you think I've got? You might be young in the Lord, you might be young in the faith, or you might not be 100% sure. Then I'll ask you a simple question. What is the deep in you? Now, what is the deep inside of you? You've heard me say it before. What kind of ministry do you respond to? Because that's normally going to reflect the kind of calling you got. This sympathetic resonance we've spoken of before. Now, you play a certain note on the guitar, stick it next to another guitar, there's going to be sympathetic resonance. That particular frequency is going to play the same frequency on other guitars. So if you've got an evangelistic calling, like the prophet in his first part of his ministry, he loved Billy Sunday. Why? Because Billy Sunday was an evangelist. Billy Sunday would jump on the table and stuff. Billy Sunday was a very good man. And the prophet, because he was told at first, do the work of an evangelist, that was his first calling, there's a deep insight, there's a frequency you operate at spiritually, and when you find somebody else operating that gift or that calling, there's a sympathetic resonance inside of your soul that does something to you. So like me, say you called more to a teaching ministry, you're going to find when you hit the teaching ministries, something's going to say, wow, this is something comes to life inside of you because there's a sympathy between them. Now the deep is calling to the deep, and there's a deep inside of you that responds. Now you appreciate all of the ministries and the gifts, but there's going to be certain ones that really, really strike home with you. So you look at the deep that's inside of you. What is trying to express itself? What is the life that's inside of the seed inside of you? It's naturally trying to express itself. Yeah, and it's going to recognize, it's going to respond to certain things because deep calleth unto deep. It has to. Yeah, so you can start to get some sort of idea. The prophet, when he was young, he always felt the call, even before he was a Christian, to go west. Because that's where his fullness of his calling was to go west for the seals. So there was always something inside of him to go west. Something pulling him in a certain direction. Yeah, so it's something inside of you that's beyond you. Yeah, and this is something that's pulling you somewhere, something that's leading you somewhere. He says, and taking sides with Jesus, speaking about being an evangelist, he says, about the time I get here, getting back home, I said, boy, I just have to get home. I got to see the wife and kids. I got to go to church once more and preach. When I get there, I preach, kiss my wife, hug all the kids, get in the yard, cut the grass, an aeroplane goes over. I stop. I wipe the sweat off my face. I want to go with him. Some, if a person's got an apostolic calling, evangelistic calling, you're never going to be satisfied just staying at home. No, because that's not your calling. Your calling is to get out where Christ has never been preached. Get out there to go and, you know, preach the gospel. The apostle's supposed to get out there and, you know, establish churches and break new ground and that kind. That's a missionary. You know, so if somebody's got that kind of a calling, they're not the sort of person that's just going to be able to stay home for a long time. That's if you vote an evangelist as a pastor, you're in trouble. Because they're never going to be there. We know one good brother, a friend of ours, who's like that in another country. And they voted him pastor, but I think 3 weeks out of four, probably some months, he's not at home. Because it's the deep. There's something trying to express itself. You can't be nothing that you can't be what you ain't. You know, you can only be what you are. There's something natural, a frequency inside of you. So you can tell, he could tell by himself. The prophet says, I could never be a successful pastor. I don't have enough patience. Yeah, you know, there's certain things that go together with it. He says, an aeroplane goes over. I stop. I wipe the sweat off my face. I want to go with him. You see, there's no settling down place for me. I'm restless, shifting place to place. I can't help it. It's something in me. Now there's something in you. The Lord called you and there's a deep in you. He put it there. He predestined it there. He activates it inside of you. There's something wanting to express itself. In David, to kill a lion and a bear, there was a deep inside of him. Yes. I'm sure that many of his brothers, if the lion and the bear came, they would have headed straight home to daddy. Daddy, there's a lion, there's a bear in the field. But there was a deep inside of David because he's called to be the shepherd of Israel. Now he's called to that. And when a sheep is taken, there's something rises up inside of him. Hey, I've got to go and save that sheep. Yeah, and it's just going to magnify and the gift's going to go greater and greater and get clearer and clearer as time goes by. So let's just take the final thought we get onto. If you go to Exodus chapter 3, let's have a look at Moses' calling because it shows us a few principles of calling. So Moses always had the call in his life. He was predestined always to be a deliverer. God never changed his mind, even when Moses messed up, when Moses tried to do it his own way, you know, when he didn't even have the revelation of the call, of how to handle the call. But the Lord never gave up on him because this was predestination. He was called to deliver. And in Exodus chapter 3, look at the principles. Now, this is the burning bush experience. We know no man has a right to preach the gospel until he's met God back on the backside of the desert in that burning bush. And you could take that to any ministry and calling. You're never going to be effective. You're never going to manifest fully what you are supposed to manifest until you have a burning bush experience, like Moses did here. You've got to have a burning bush experience. Otherwise, imagine, like I say, Moses going down to Egypt without the burning bush experience. Yeah, that wasn't going to be easy. You know, he was going to easily be defeated because he was not sure. He had no absolute at all. So you've got to have a burning bush experience. Every believer has to have a burning bush experience. And what is the burning bush experience? Well, let's have a look. So in verse 2, Moses is just doing his job. Backside of the desert, verse 2, Exodus 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. So the first thing that happens is at his appointed time, he meets you. He reveals himself to you. Jesus said, no man comes unto me unless my Father draws him first. This isn't a human program. So there's an appointed time, an appointed place, and an appointed way for the Lord to meet you. He's got to meet you at some time. There's got to be something take place. There's got to be some manifestation of God that gets your attention. Then it goes beyond just a manifestation. What's the next thing that happens? Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So it was a very personal call. The Lord called him by name. That's why the call is very personal because you're very individual. Yeah. Now, if you're waiting to actually go to the backside of a desert and meet a burning bush, you might be waiting a long time because that's the way the Lord chose to relate himself, make himself known to Moses. He reveals himself to you in your own way. That's from new ministry. He was revealing it to me in my own way. So according to the way the Lord made you, according to the way that he's called you, the Lord is going to reveal himself to you in your own way. Yeah, in a language that you understand. He knows the best way to reveal himself to you. But the problem with us, we want the other man's experience. No, we want, hey, I need to wrestle with an angel all night. You know, he needs to put my hip out of joint and then I'll know that he called me. No, that was Jacob's experience. Yeah, you might say, I want to go into the temple and I want to see the seraphim. Yeah, and I want to see the Lord high and lifted up. No, that was Isaiah's particular experience. You want the same result. You want the same God to reveal himself, but it's in your own way. In his place, in his own way, but it's always going to bring forth the same results. any calling always brings forth the same results. So the Lord calls him by name. It's a personal call. What's the first thing after that? Verse 6. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The first thing the Lord has to do is reveal himself to you. He's got to raise himself out of history. How can you ever represent the kingdom of God if God is not real to you? If he's never revealed himself personally to you, you're going to be defeated. Because that's your absolute. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that brings the new birth. It's that personal. He's got to reveal himself to you. You might be fishing and throwing in your net, and he comes and reveals himself to you. Come and follow me. And then your name is Simon. You're the son of Jonah and all that. There's got to be a manifestation. He's got to reveal himself. And then you will say, you are the Christ, the son of the living God. No, he's got to in some way. Maybe you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to jump. You may. God has many ways of revealing himself according to your temperament and according to your nature. He knows the best way to reveal himself that you will never forget, that all the devils in hell will never be able to take away that experience from you. That is your sacred sands. That is your Job when he's on the ash heap. I know my Redeemer lives. There's got to be something that you know. The certain sound, something has to happen to you that you know him. That's your Damascus Road experience, whatever you want to call it. There's got to be something. God hiding himself in simplicity. But that's what happens next. So the Lord now, number one, reveals himself to Moses. That's part of the call. That's the burning bush experience. What's the next thing that he reveals to him? Verse 7 and 8. I've seen the afflictions of my people. Verse 7. Verse 8, I've come down to deliver them, to bring them into a good land. What does he reveal to him? He reveals to him first, God reveals himself, then he reveals his day and his message. God reveals who he is in that age, what is his mind is, his purpose, his plan. He says, I've come down, it's time to deliver the people, it's Exodus time. I'm taking the people into a promised land. So Moses, how can you find your position if you don't know the program of God for your day? If you don't recognize your day and your message, you're just going to be bumping around, bumping into other people. Yeah, but first he reveals himself, then he reveals his day and his message to Moses. So Moses says, okay, that's the day we're living in. God spoke of this before, but now the time has come to bring the people out in an exodus. So that's the mystery of redemption. He reveals the mystery of redemption. Now that's the seal being broken to Moses to show God's great plan for the day, what God's program is. And finishing off, what happens then? Verse 10. Come now therefore, and now I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people. Now he reveals his part in the plan. So first the Lord has to reveal himself. He reveals your day and its message. Now it's narrowing down. Then he starts to reveal your calling in the plan. Because now you understand the big picture. Now he says, okay, you, this is the part I want you to play. This is what I want you to do. My desire, my aim, my program, I'm going to deliver the people, but Moses, I'm sending you to do it. Can you see how it's coming down, 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 down? So it's the personal revelation of Moses' individual call. And every single person who was called in that time, Aholiab and Bezaleel, Joshua, Caleb, all of them with different gifts and different manifestations, but they had to catch the same revelation. The Lord had to reveal himself. They had to recognize their day. We need to build a tabernacle. And then they'd use their own gift, catch the individual call. And now they're contributing to this great program God has for the day. Because every call and every gift is working together for one purpose. Now, that's the unity of Christ in his church. There's got to be, no matter what manifestation of the Spirit it is, God is, it's one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. That's what it is. It's all a body move working towards one goal that Christ has. And every single one of our callings is contributing to that. So now that's how you find the lone rangers and the independent people. And that's not the way that God calls people. That's a body move. Like people always say, you know, the days of the one man scripture, Malachi 4, that's been fulfilled. Now we're under Ephesians 4. Now we're under the body of Christ. Now we're into Ephesians 6. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Yeah, that you've got to put on the whole armor of God. So you and I want to make our calling and election sure. Yeah, God never called anybody to be a professional bench warmer. That's never been a calling in the body of Christ. You know, just to sit on the bench, let everybody else do everything, and you do nothing. You'll never grow. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but you'll never grow. And if you're called, there's a deep inside of you that wants to express itself. There's something inside you want to do something. You're like Dwight Moody, give out some hymn books or something, and let's see where it goes. Or that little handmaid back there in the days of Moody had a burden for her church, and she spoke to the pastor. He didn't want to listen, and she hired the evangelist, and she got the stable and all that. Yeah, there's something inside of you trying to express itself. And as you allow him to express himself in and through you, it'll flash in the body of Christ. You become a blessing in simplicity to the body of Christ. And then gradually, as time goes by, as you walk more and more with the Lord, it becomes more and more clear who you are and what you are raised up for. And that is what you want to be, because we must be called. We must make our calling and election sure. Otherwise, we will be defeated. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we look unto you, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for being in this place. We thank you for being here at this time. And how we pray now that you be glorified, Lord. Help us each as individuals, Lord. Help us to hear our name once again this day. Speak, Lord. Father, let your word be personal to our souls once again. Prepare our hearts in the worship. Bless the song leader. Bless, Lord, the worship now. Bless our brother as he waits upon you. And Father, be glorified in the midst of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.